my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday already, May 9th, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is, to be sure. It just gets stranger all the time. It's tech conference season, and there's no shortage of weirdness going on at the tech conferences, for sure. So we'll talk about that. I really want to get into the social media stuff, the manipulation and sort of confluence of agendas and CIA stuff. So with your forgiveness, I suppose, we'll sort of blend things in. It's going to be – I wanted to make some hard breaks, I suppose, during the next – few days or over the course of this week, a separation between the good Christian content, the social media stuff and manipulation, and the CIA stuff. But it all kind of goes together, so it's going to be more of a soft break. It's not going to be as perhaps clearly cut as I had intended. But nonetheless, we'll go through that and see how that all works out. CNN had an interesting collection of stuff on the Google announcements yesterday. We'll probably get to that. But first, over the weekend on Saturday Night Live, This Is America debuted. Donald Glover's musical alter ego Childish Gambino debuted This Is America. And today, The Atlantic has an article, actually it was published yesterday, Why the Dancing Makes This Is America So Uncomfortable to Watch. And to me, this is sort of, again, it's one of those confluences of stories. It's great that Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, is successful. People watch his music videos. But it's interesting. The video, yeah, exactly. The video debuted with about 36 million views almost immediately. And, you know, some folks would say that the content is offensive. I mean, there's violence depicted in the video and, you know, gun violence. There are a number of channels who promote the, or formerly promoted the safe use of firearms and, you know, that kind of thing. But their channels were essentially shut down by YouTube because of a change in policy. And there are millions of folks who are interested in that content, not to not for the purposes of violence or anything like that, but, you know, as a sort of healthy hobby. I mean, in one aspect, you might argue that those folks that are interested in those channels follow them in the fashion that Thomas Jefferson advocated, let your gun be your constant companion in your walks. Thomas Jefferson thought that the gun was the best form of exercise because it stamps character on the mind. And he was no dummy, so, you know. Anyway, the video This Is America is number 8 on trending on YouTube, and it currently has about 49 million views. And like I said, no offense. I mean, you know, everyone's entitled to their perspective, I suppose, on art. But yeah, Mr. Bordop says it was number 1 for 48 hours. Exactly. So, you know, the article is interesting, though, and the Atlantic article mentions that there is a scientific element to this discussion. You know, from the article, though the word viral is so associated with internet sharing now, the virus-like quality of dance was being analyzed long before the existence of social media. John Martin, one of the prominent dance critics, described the medium's effect on its audience as a contagion. He suggested in his book, Introduction to the Dance, in 1939, that when we watch others dance, quote, we shall cease to be mere spectators and become participants in the movement that is presented to us. And though to all outward appearances we shall be sitting quietly in our chairs, we shall nevertheless be dancing synthetically with all our musculature. So there are a number of points here. And, you know, for example, the depiction of violence against others as is portrayed in This Is America, I would argue, you know, that's offensive. That's exactly the kind of content that YouTube's policy would seek to curb and scrub. But no, this is a trending video, and you know, all of the gun channels that promote, you know, in America we have the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's pretty clear and plain language. And there are numerous channels that promoted responsible gun ownership and knowing the proper use of firearms and safety and all those kinds of things. And again, Thomas Jefferson's words, you know, let your gun be the constant companion of your walks. It's great exercise. It stamps character on the mind. Versus what we see in this video, and it's interesting, you know. I mean, to me, this is sort of the juxtapose that we see and the hypocrisy of YouTube. And YouTube has a vested interest in promoting or furthering the dumbing down of America. You know, Really Graceful's latest video, I think, really sort of points that out. She made a great video titled, Why Does Google Want Your DNA? That was published, I think, yesterday, and that already has, yeah, published yesterday, has 21,000 views, 21,621 as I look at it. So, you know, that should have 49 million views. But people don't want to see that. People don't want to know. It's interesting. Again, human nature, the nature of mankind, conspires against us. Bad guys know that. And so they... This is a sort of high hop experience, you know, help it happen on purpose. I think hopefully that makes sense. To me, This Is America video is a perfect representation of precisely what is wrong in America and the hypocrisy. And so what will end up happening, see, the gun channels, so-called or so to speak, get vilified because of, you know, irresponsible gun use or whatever. Meanwhile, the This Is America video will be glorified as art. And it is depicting gun violence. People will say, yeah, he's making a point. That's fine, but YouTube has policy that would seek to curb this kind of content specifically and exactly. Meanwhile, you have channels that promote responsible gun ownership. They get shut down because they're talking about guns. They're not depicting shooting other people, mass murder and things like that, as is depicted in This Is America. So This Is America is sort of predictive programming. And when we see more shootings, what happens when, you know, we just saw the story, you know, the highway shooter thought that the Parkland shooter was a hero. And so, I mean, I asked the question and we played the clip. Which one? Which Parkland shooter? Because there are at least four different appearances depicted by witnesses. And, you know, Nicholas Cruz apprehended in his Stoneman Douglas polo shirt, the crimson shirt with the eagle on the right shoulder, and, you know, him looking up like the Manchurian Patsy when they grab him in the grass, you know, jeans and a Stoneman Douglas polo, which you don't hear anyone talk about. So that's interesting. Anyway, when violence occurs, as it undoubtedly will because of the the aping of pop culture, so to speak, which is a pejorative. I can't stand that terminology. That's why I'm using it that way. Then, you know, we'll hear, well, you know, you can't blame art. It's not art's fault. And this is insanity. So anyway, 49 million views versus Really Graceful's video, which is outstanding. Why does Google want your DNA? And very timely, because of the, you know, the tech conference. It's fantastic. I encourage folks to watch it. Maybe we'll play it. But, you know, this is the intersection. We should be going, you know, I believe we're sort of at an impasse. We've been at various impasses throughout American society at various times, you know, 1913, 1916, 1946, 47, 33, 48. There are a number of pivotal moments, and I think this is another one. It's interesting. We should be, I suppose, you know, turning in the direction of Really Graceful's video, not in the direction of the Childish Gambino, This Is America video. And the information is out there, even though it's largely occluded. That's almost a better thing. You know, it makes it more valuable, in a sense. Although occluding information on purpose is a despicable thing to do. We should be making the right choice in America. And it's interesting, you know, this has a number of different there are a number of issues that relate to this, and it will have important consequences. But I'm reminded in all of this also of the recent controversy with Kanye West, and I think, you know, that whole deal really kind of lends itself to the good Christian discussion that I'll get to today. I wanted to do the social media manipulation stuff first, but I think I'll do that after the good Christian stuff. And the point is, we're all capable of both. We're all capable simultaneously of the worst behavior and the best behavior. And we see that in quotes like Solzhenitsyn's, you know, the line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every man. Anyway, we'll get to those things. But it's interesting, you know, Kanye, his provocative soundbite about slavery, you know, 400 years of slavery, and him saying, you know, 400 years and it's all you people. I mean, it seems like it's a choice. And so here we are at another moment of choice, if you will, because how long do we allow ourselves to be beguiled into dismissing the obvious? You know, speaking of all of this, you know, we played the clip of, you know, after the Parkland deal, psychologist Tom Kersting on Today with Megyn Kelly talking about how things do have consequences. You know, him talking about the change of the targets from a bullseye to a silhouette, just that simple change. You know, kids play first-person shooter games, but just a simple change from a bullseye target to a silhouette up the chances that a soldier would shoot someone from 10% to 80%. We'll be right back.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it.
Technology glitches on my end. I apologize for the delays and the bumps. Anyway, Mr. Bordop brings up some good points, and the Tom Kersting clip. Tom Kersting brings up some great points. In the wake of the Parkland incident, whatever happened or didn't happen, on Megyn Kelly's, on the Today Show with Megyn Kelly, Tom Kersting said that looking at the culture of violence we live in now, which is unprecedented, the fact that during World War I, the bullseye target corresponded to a rate of about 10%, folks in the military didn't want to shoot at other people. Only 10% would do that willingly. And by the time we got to Vietnam with the silhouette target, just the silhouette, that number rose to 80%. Now we have first-person shooter games. We have all of this violence and culture, music, video games, movies, television. We are immersed in it and have been for decades. We keep hearing that it has nothing, no correlation. You know, Dick Gregory did a good job of talking about, heavy metals and manganese in particular. You know, Dick Gregory was one of the folks that said, if you if you introduce manganese in heavy quantities in a society, in whatever, by whatever means or mechanism, the way he put it, you can get someone to kill their mama. Someone will kill your mom. You'll kill your mama with. So, you know, there's that. There's all of the other ways that we are manipulated in this society. And so, the This Is America video is the latest example of that. And so Mr. Bordock brings up some good points. He mentioned during the break that for perspective, you know, he said he's either the most dangerous Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, is either the most dangerous artist to the guys behind the curtain or the most embedded. Exactly. And I think that's exactly the kind of plausible deniability that's intended. It's hard to argue that's by accident. And he mentioned, for perspective, he's 34 and has written for SNL, The Simpsons, 30 Rock, Community, also playing one of the main characters, directed and wrote Atlanta, landmark FX series. He's Lando Calrissian in Star Wars now, and will be the older version of Simba in the forthcoming Favreau-directed Lion King. Also worked on the soundtrack, or working on the soundtrack, with Elton John and Quincy Jones. He's won a Tony, two Emmys, a Grammy already. He's 34, not including his Image Awards and Writers Guild Awards. If he nails an Oscar for the Lion King soundtrack, he will be the youngest person to complete the EGOT, the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. What do they call that in golf? I can't think of it. Anyway, a grand slam. That's what they call it. Anyway, continuing, he writes, he was even voted as most likely to write for The Simpsons in his senior yearbook. He was also almost Spider-Man, and still ended up in Spider-Man Homecoming. Anyway, but yeah, you know, I would say the most embedded, it's pretty obvious. But This Is America, again, you know, Kanye's remarks come to mind, 400 years and it's all y'all, you know, it's hard to argue it's not a choice. And so we have a choice at this point in that context. And it's difficult. The nature of man conspires against us, or is used to is used against us, because we want to be lazy. We want someone in between us and accountability and responsibility. In the context of the good Christian remark, it's our creator, our maker, our, you know, the God of heaven and earth. And, you know, we always want someone in between us and that accountability. You see evidence of that in the Bible in places like Exodus chapter 20, when Moses says, guys, let's go talk to God. Let's go up on the mountain and talk to God. And they say, what? Are you nuts? You talk to us, Moses, lest we perish. And that was evidence of their heart problem, so to speak, because they wanted to keep doing naughty things. And they knew, they were convicted in their hearts, they knew if they went to talk to God, they would be convicted of their sin, so to speak. And they didn't want that. So they wanted a middleman in between that accountability. And today, In America, the same situation's been engineered with this limited liability nonsense. And it's used, it's weaponized, and man's nature conspires against him. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1.
Welcome back. Holy cow. All right. Let's dive into this deal. Anyway, and a brief aside, an anecdotal aside these days. Yeah, exactly. We have this dialogue going on during the break. Mr. Bordop says, I'm not sure if you saw it. I didn't. But people were losing their minds when they thought the man playing the guitar, and you'll have to watch the video if you haven't seen it. When they thought the man playing the guitar at the beginning of This Is America was Trayvon Martin's father, which is false, he adds parenthetically. I said, I didn't see that. I'm sure that meme was fomented, though. And his response, they produce themselves these days. Exactly. Well said. So enough about that. Let's move on to the subject of the good Christian. I want to circle back around last Thursday. It's been almost a week already. That's crazy. Last Thursday during a call from Paula, New Jersey, at the end of the second hour on Thursday, Paul was talking about how, and I'm paraphrasing, and Paul, feel free to correct me. I'm not trying to misrepresent anyone's remarks by any means, but basically, Paul was saying, you know, a lot of what has happened in a certain context, in certain ways, and this was in context of the conversation and some of the other things that were discussed on Thursday's broadcast, but some of the things have been a result of good Christians not being good Christians. And, you know, again, this is not to I'm not trying to you know, vilify anyone or anything. This is not a calling out. This is actually, that's an interesting soundbite, and I think that's a misnomer, actually, that many of us are victimized by. And so I want to shed light on that. I've tried to do that in different ways. I'm going to try to do it in a different way, and it's an opportunity, I think. It's what the mindless people call a teachable moment. Anyway, that's another soundbite I can't stand. But it, you know, it is an opportunity to circle back around and address, I think, an issue that escapes us in many ways most of the time. I've tried to mention how there is an engineered psyop aspect to that point, with, you know, references to the Union Jack prologue, for example, that counterfeit Christianity is the crown jewel of the bad guy agenda that is afoot. I believe it's the same agenda that John Adams wrote about in a dissertation on the canon and feudal law back in 1765. Same thing, a settled design on foot to enslave all America. This must be done by degrees. John Adams thought there was a conspiracy. Did it go away? You know, fast forward 200 years, actually, just about exactly 200 years, and you have Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, History of the World in Our Time, and a History of the World in Our Time, a reflection on that history and an examination of the documents of the ne'er-do-wells fomenting or further fomenting the plot against all mankind, really, or the rest of mankind, reveals that, yes, Virginia, there is a conspiracy, and it's pretty much exactly in accordance with what folks like John Adams wrote in 1765. So 200 years on, here it is continuing, generational evil in the sort of fashion that Larry McDonald mentioned. And in his foreword, which book was that? The Rockefeller File, I think. Larry McDonald wrote the foreword to The Rockefeller File, talking about a plot generations old, international in scope, very evil. Anyway, so the good Christian issue, I think this is a soundbite that many of us are plagued by or misled by, beguiled. If good Christians would just be good Christians. The trouble is, again, man's nature conspires against him. And I'll give you certain examples. Just a couple. Even in I was wondering if we should back up and play that stuff from yesterday. Maybe we'll do that in the next hour. That was good stuff. You know, the George Soros stuff, the Zek stuff that I was talking about yesterday, I keep threatening to circle back around and play that too. Haven't done that yet, but we will. So I want to give you a little clip from a Christian perspective, I suppose you could say, a Focus on the Family deal. And it's a two-part deal. We'll play just a small excerpt from the second part, but the first part, the series is titled Building True Oneness in Marriage, and I want to give you part one of two. This is from Focus on the Family, but I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. And I'll get to the point here in a second. If you're ready with that, please go ahead.
This is John Fuller, and please remember to let us know how you're listening to these programs on a podcast, app, or website.
And I remember thinking, I have no right to demand anything from my wife. I only have an opportunity because of grace to give something to my wife. And when I began thinking of grace in those terms, then I began actually looking at my wife in a way I don't think I ever had before.
Welcome to another edition of Focus on the Family with Focus President and author Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and our guest today is Dr. Larry Crabb to talk about marriage and what it truly means and where we often go wrong in that relationship.
Dr. Crabb, I want to begin with this question, and that is, what is happening in marriages today? What is going wrong? And what about Christian marriages?
The difficulty is that we're not doing a whole lot better than the non-Christian world. And I rather think that the problems that afflict Christian marriages or secular marriages are not all that different than are getting in the way of Christian marriages. And if I had to name one thing that I think if I had the power to correct, I'd do it in a heartbeat, and I'd do it in my own life as well as other people's, I would call the central problem unrecognized self-centeredness in the way we relate. And rather than ministering, I believe we manipulate without even recognizing we're doing it. Unrecognized self-centeredness is a problem.
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head, and I totally agree with you. I think that's one of the great travesties of marriage today. It ends up being all about me and not about you, my spouse.
Well, as was mentioned, we do have Dr. Larry Crabb here. He's a well-known psychologist, conference speaker, author, founder and director of New Way Ministries, and he's written a couple of books, and the one that's really foundational for this conversation moving forward is The Marriage Builder. And Jim, it's a delight to have him here.
It is. And Larry, let me pick up where we left off, because I think you really did hit it, that selfishness in marriage. You know, when I've thought about it, just with Gene and I, it's so funny. You come into a relationship, especially I think as Christian young people, you want to be idealistic, and you're so much in love, and you're so much alike, but really you're not that much alike, you come to find out. And over time, you begin to see that selfishness in you. And I think in a way, maybe God has designed it in that way so that we have to become more like Him, which is selfless.
Marriage is a great opportunity for spiritual formation.
Yeah, that means hard work, doesn't it?
That means hard work, and it means honesty, and it means some tension along the way. I don't know any marriage that's good that hasn't gone through some tough times. Mm. And tough times are an opportunity as opposed to an obstacle.
Why do you think today so many, and I would say both Christian and non-Christian people, married couples, are willing to throw in the towel so quickly when they hit a rough spot? Is it a lack of patience?
Well, I think it's an awareness of a deep longing in the human soul that you're demanding be satisfied. And when your spouse doesn't satisfy that deep hunger within you, then you figure, this isn't at all what I had in mind, so I'm going to dump this woman or dump this guy and get somebody else that'll do a better job. And that's really the core problem, that you know, when you marry your woman, your man, you're really assuming that that person is going to do for you what only God can do. And when they fail, then you just quit. That's a very common reaction, I think.
Well, and so often today in the culture, that attitude of get out is reinforced. I mean, unfortunately, here at Focus, we hear often from particularly women who, are lonely in their marriages emotionally.
Yes.
They don't feel connected to their husbands. That can be a spell within a marriage, a dry season. But if you've gone 10, 15, 20 years, you become disenchanted and perhaps start looking for an exit.
I think that's true, and I think that a woman's core terror is that heart thinking about what a woman longs for the most. What she's most afraid of is feeling invisible to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Does he see me? Does he notice me? Is he interested in speaking into my soul? And when she feels that loneliness, that invisibility, then something feels very justified, not just great pain, certainly that, but very justified in living to relieve the pain, which is getting away from him.
Mm. And the other aspect of that is the husbands, typically around physical intimacy, don't feel that's being satisfied, so they get frustrated. The wives' needs are not being met emotionally. Husbands' needs are not being met, perhaps physically. And they just get irritated at each other.
And partly because the self-centeredness feels very justified.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a sin in our culture, and yet it is. Mm-hmm. It violates exactly how the Trinity relates. Talk about radical other-centeredness, and we're supposed to be living in His image, but we get radical self-centeredness and think it's legitimate.
In your book, The Marriage Builder, you talk about this concept of the me generation and the entitled generation. I've gotten to know a lot of 20, 30-somethings, and it's true, but I don't think it's unique. I think every generation is self-focused. Why are we seeing perhaps more of it to where they even garner the
right,
label?
That's good.
Yeah. Well,
so you heard it. Let me just kind of review, you know, that might be a little, well, it's not typically what we're used to hearing on this broadcast, I'll tell you that. Anyway, so the purpose of that is, you know, there are a couple of sound bites. I want to give you a sort of companion to that here in a second, just about 30 seconds or so of the second part. But from the dialogue that you heard there, again, just sort of a review, unrecognized selfishness is one way that it's put. We live in a culture of rampant narcissism. It's been engineered that way, but unrecognized selfishness was the soundbite, you know, and so you heard some of the excerpts, relevant excerpts in this context. There are times when things happen with inside me that have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit and have everything to do with my flesh. I've talked about how Paul talked about that in Romans 7, talk more about that in a minute. Everything to do with my irritability and my impatience. I think we can all relate to those moments, whether one refers to themselves as a Christian or not. My irritability, my impatience, my demanding spirit, my sense of entitlement, my inappropriate desires, as it was phrased. And so this is something I think we can all relate to. There's a generation now, or I would say each successive generation is being engineered, if you will, in a way that really sort of inculcates this mindset and this behavior in people. And it lends itself, as we've had the discussion of, I still need to get back to color revolution, because these become the ultimate color revolutionaries, which is another irony. But we had the conversation about how, you know, coming through last week, for example, you know, with the 200th anniversary of Marx's birthday in view, we talked about Marxism and how this entitlement mindset lends itself to the revolutionary behavior. It's funny. These people, for example, will watch Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator and think that speech is just fantastic. Oh my goodness, that speech is so good. No, it's textbook Marxism. It's textbook Marxism. And so it's not good. You know, workers of the world, we must band together. We must rise up and unite. That's Marxism. Anyway, so it's a sense of entitlement that is very central to this concept. And so then you heard, I think it's an awareness of a deep longing in the human soul that you're demanding to be satisfied. That you're demanding be satisfied. And when your spouse in this context doesn't satisfy that deep hunger within you, then you figure, this isn't what I had in mind, so I'm going to dump this woman or this guy and get somebody else that'll do a better job. And that's really the core problem, he says. The idea that, you mean, when you marry your woman or your man, you're really assuming that that person is going to do for you what only God can do. And when they fail, you just quit. That's a very common reaction. But that's kind of the, you know, the way I put it, marriages these days, and, you know, marriage is not something the state is supposed to sanction. It's something that is biblical. It's a biblical concept. And so, you know, for those who would say, you know, you disagree with gay marriage, I think every marriage should be happy. But as far as a homosexual union, I don't think that's marriage. That's a different deal. And for those who would say, how dare you? And, you know, if I want to do whatever, you know, my question would be, you know, for those who fight for this kind of nonsense, I've said this for years. They say, you know, we want to do what we want to do. I say, well, why do you have to ask the state for permission to do that? Oh, that's a good question. Why do you? And for the others, for a man and woman who want to get married, what business is that of the states? And it's a short trip from that question to the eugenics councils of the John D. Rockefeller era. You know, the health, the sanitarium commission, the mental health, physical health, you know, stupid people shouldn't breed, which takes us right back to Really Graceful's latest video, Why Does Google Want Your DNA? It's all the same conversation. And so this all gets back to the point coming through the Death Cult Ideology series for the last several weeks now. It's all the same conversation. Anyway, further in that clip we heard, you know, it was put this way too: radical, unrecognized self-centeredness. So this is a context of a married couple. And are they evil people? Is one of them evil and one of them not? No. But we do live in a society, getting back to the point, of the sort of thin, weak relationships, transient, if you will, that Aldous Huxley wrote about in Brave New World as a sort of, you know, juxtaposed to Orwell's 1984. So in Brave New World, people have these transient, very shallow, very meaningless sorts of relationships, which is an oxymoron, I would say, but you get the point. And so I've said for a long time, I think people in this society today have more of what I would categorize as political alliances with affection. And when the political alliance does not serve the implicit purpose for one or the other or both, then, you know, the political alliance is disbanded. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, again, in the context of the Good Christian, are these this is we're listening to, you know, Focus on the Family podcast. This is in a Christian context, if you will. And so are they bad people? No. Are they good people? No, they're just people. So this concept of radical, unrecognized self-centeredness, Larry says, then partly because of the self-centeredness, partly the problem exists partly because the self-centeredness feels justified. And then he goes on and he says, it doesn't feel, you heard him say, it doesn't feel like sin in our culture, and yet it is. And it violates exactly how the Trinity relates. Talk about radical self-centeredness, and we're supposed to be living in God's image, his image, the image of Christ. But we have this radical self-centeredness, and we think it's legitimate. So obviously there will be problems. If we're ready with the next clip, I want to give you about 30 seconds of this next. This is part two of the series, and he makes a good point in the introduction. Are you ready with that? By chance. Maybe we'll wait on that for a second. All right. I just want to give you a few seconds because it all goes together. It all, you know, again, we're all just people. And the moment that we start believing that we're different, when we start otherizing and dehumanizing one another, that's when we start running into problems. You know, there is the biblical parable or the analogy of the, you know, the sinner goes into the synagogue or the church, and, you know, he can barely bring himself to the altar, so to speak, because he feels so ashamed, so worthless, so unworthy of being there. And he gets there and he tears his shirt and he cries out because he knows that he doesn't even deserve to be there. And then the Pharisee walks in behind him and says, oh, thank God I'm not like that guy. It's that sort of otherizing that gets us in all kinds of trouble. Anyway, listen to this. yeah, if you're ready, go ahead, please.
Last time on Focus on the Family, Dr. Larry Crabb joined us to talk about marriage, and he had some provocative thoughts to share with us, like this.
And way down deep, I believe we had what I call a tick on the dog relationship. You know, what's a tick do? A tick finds a host and sucks out of it whatever it needs. Mm. And the problem in most marriages, I've concluded there's been so much marriage counseling, is in most marriages, there's two ticks and no dog.
Well, Dr. Crabb is back with us for this edition of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller. And Jim, there was some really deep content from Dr. Crabb last time. Very challenging conversation.
I just wanted to get the tick on the dog.
I thought it was terrific.
Deal on there. So you heard it, you know, in most relationships. I mean, I say it, like I said, political alliance with affection. And when the political alliance does not serve its implicit, unspoken purpose, you know, that's how people work. You know, you're not doing this for me, you're not doing that for me. And so two ticks on the dog and no dog. Two ticks and no dog. And it's true. Again, the otherizing gets us in trouble when we start. And we are encouraged in innumerable ways in the society to otherize one another. And it's just always bad. Always bad. Always gets us in trouble. And the, you know, we have a natural propensity for it. Again, the nature of man conspires or is used surreptitiously, weaponized against him. You go through, honestly, I think everyone should read, in today's America, everyone should read Romans. And see, especially Romans chapter 7, and then just kind of reflect on the ways that society weaponizes the nature of man against him and his fellow man, against himself and his fellow man. And again, you know, Nesta Webster's words come to mind in that context, because you see these things. We're encouraged, you know, the issue of balkanization, obviously. And, you know, we talk about divide and conquer or divide and rule. It's beyond divide. For over 100 years now, it's been balkanize. And there's a reason for that term. There's a reason it was coined. It is the operative term. Dividing people down to about a one-to-one ratio. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew 10, you know. The division, dividing a house, you know. Man's enemies will be the members of his own house. These are the times we're living in, and the more we can see it for what it is and understand it, the better equipped we will be to deal with it. Stick around, we'll be back. Second hour coming up right after this break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.